What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Plus Added Time here on Project Dits. Forever and always, I am now an Everton fan, and my name is Nathan. And with me is someone who... Are you becoming a Man City fan?
No. I was born in 2000, not 2010.
It is Dara Gibbons. You sound cheerier than I feel like you would be if we'd recorded this closer to the derby.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because my favourite stat always to rattle off is that Everton have not won at Anfield in my lifetime. No longer true.
Did you die or did Everton?
I wish. No, it was rough, I won't lie. It was...
Let's get out of the way early doors. We're gonna throw it straight in. Let's talk about the derby. Everton going in there after they hadn't played great lately.
No.
They went down to Fulham. Battered by City.
Yeah.
Talk us through your emotions. Let's start it off. How did you feel on the day when you woke up? It was derby day. How were you feeling? Were you confident?
Well, I still am somewhat confident in this team, considering how bad a run of form we've been in. And especially when Everton come to Anfield, it's usually one result. We just, no matter how bad we seem to be during the season, we will always find a way to get a win against Everton. I think of the 4-0 in Klopp's first season. I think of the 4-0 when Rodgers in 13-14, when Everton were the best they've ever been under Bobby Martinez. And we just smashed them off the park that night. So going into it, I was pretty confident that we were going to at least draw. I didn't think it was going to go so bad so quick.
Yeah, it didn't start off great. Everton went ahead early doors through Richarlison. And when the goal went in, talk us through your emotions.
I don't know. Kabak was, for the game, he seemed to be man marking him, I guess. That's what it seemed to be. And it just straight away, he's in behind. You've lost him straight away. And it went in again very early on in the game. So I wasn't too fearful. But I think I was saying to you at the time, Everton, never mind win at Anfield, they never lead at Anfield. And I don't think they'd led in a game at Anfield since about 2011, which it's a while ago.
That is quite a while ago. A hell of a long time ago.
If I'm wrong, feel free to correct me, but I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that.
I can't even remember them scoring at Anfield. The one that comes straight to mind is the FA Cup game when you played your under sevens. That's the only derby I can really think of because it's just so hilarious. But yeah, it went in James Rodriguez to Richarlison for the goal 3 minutes in. Do you think Liverpool, did you actually recover well after that? Did you feel like, well, we're going to go on and destroy them now? They got lucky. Here it comes.
Destroy is a bit of a stretch, Nathan, I won't lie. Well, I thought we played well. I thought we created a lot more than we have been recently. I think we created a lot more. We looked like we were creating a lot more than we did in the Leipzig game. But when I think about it, I can't remember too many clear-cut chances. But it was all right enough build-up play. I thought the front three looked better than they have been recently, but that's not really saying much. And it just never really happened. Again, I can't think of anything that was, you know, so blatantly obvious that should have been a goal. And then, you know, you're chasing a goal for the entire game and then they get a penalty.
Yeah, the penalty is a big talking point from the game. Was it, for my mind, I don't think it was a penalty. I think that is one of the harshest penalties I've seen given.
The best way I describe it is if you've ever played a game of FIFA, this decision has gone against you at some point and you've gone mental, throwing the controller at the TV.
It's kind of like a FIFA glitch.
It's a very FIFA-esque penalty.
Yeah, like the graphics have gone a bit weird. The players like tripped out a little bit and then it's like sorted itself out but decided it was a foul.
Yeah, so Trent, like what, he slides in.
Yeah.
He's kind of
on the ground and then apparently trips someone up.
And then Calvert-Lewin just kind of runs into him on the floor and goes down. And because there's contact in the box, I guess. And apparently he's impeded him, which I don't think Trent's not even looking in the direction of Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So I don't know how he can be impeding anyone intentionally. Because it has to be an intentional or like a deliberate foul, doesn't it? And you can't tell me that's a deliberate foul.
You can't at all. And like, it didn't really look like you were going to get back into the game anyway. The one chance I could think of was when Firmino skinned a load of people to get himself through on goal and then put it wide, which kind of sums up Liverpool's attack of late, really. All the hard work done, but just no
ironically product. Toothless, because their teeth are bloody lovely.
They are bloody lovely. They're lovely, lovely boys. I mean, look at the rest of the season. It don't want to start off just all doom and gloom for any Liverpool fans, but it's not just looking like you're not going to defend a title. It doesn't look like you're going to be playing in Europe next season.
And I can't believe I said, I can't remember the last week or the week before, we all comfortably finish above Leicester. They say a week is a long time in politics. I don't think I've ever looked more stupid in this space of a week besides making that comment. I think we're like nearly 10 points off Leicester since I've said that.
You are Leicester who in it looked like you were going to quite comfortably sweep them aside apart from a dodgy 5 minutes. in the game. So not a good week for you. Coming off a win. Really, it's like you, Champions League, you played Leipzig. Leipzig decided not to start a striker for whatever reason, but that's beside the point. You still scored two good goals and you're in control of the tie. And then you come up against Everton and just look like a different side.
I'm not having much fun at the minute. Sheffield United at the weekend, they've won -5 games all season. I think they'll find a way. Don't worry.
No, that's gonna be the building blocks. You're gonna beat Sheffield United. You're then gonna beat Leipzig again, and then everything's gonna look rosy. But I mean, one thing I do want to touch on, which I think we can both agree on, is that the criticism of Klopp lately has been from a minority of the minority of the fans has been ridiculous and completely overblown. Would you not say?
I mean, I'd say, yeah, definitely. It's completely been blown out of proportion. I know we're having a bad season, but again, I don't want to be drawn back to this, but Klopp can't account for his three senior centre-backs as well as the two lads filling in all being out for them long-term injuries. And Fabinho, I haven't heard anything on Fabinho lately, but I'm just thinking, if we hadn't signed Kabak, well, loaned Kabak on deadline day, we'd have Nathaniel Phillips and Reece Williams as our only centre-backs the entire club.
Yeah, I think that's a bit unfair on Ben Davies.
Sorry, I forgot he existed. So did Klopp.
I think most Liverpool fans.
I'm remembering correctly, yeah. Yeah, and Jota's coming back. He's back in training, which is good to see, because he was probably ahead of Salah at one point in like our most lethal finishers around end November, start of December, before he picked off that injury away at Atalanta, which was Michelin, wasn't it? Michelin, the final game, yeah.
Oh, the tyre company.
There's another mention for them. You can take them off the top.
Yeah, you've got your plus added time bingo cards out. Mentioning Michelin.
Like always. And hopefully Jota can have an impact on the front three psychologically, force them to play better, because as the way things look at the minute, I don't know what's going on. I know Salah is still scoring goals, but Firmino and Mane have just severely just dropped in contribution in the last 2 or 3 months, and you could say it's been a sort of a bit of a decline, a bit longer than that if you look into it properly. And when I look at the form, I think we're second to Southampton for the worst form in the league over the last 5 games, which is lovely to see. All the bottom three are either ahead or level with us.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just so strange to see. And like, Firmino's never been someone to score loads of goals.
Do you know how he's not a goal scorer? I remember once making a €20 bet that he'll score over 20 in the season.
Why would you do that?
Because he scored 25 that season and I won £20. This was the first season we got to the Champions League final. It was really good. But yeah, I'd say if you look at the stats, the output has just dropped season by season. And he's been there now for coming up on 6 years. He was actually a Rodgers signing the summer of 2015. He wasn't even the Klopp signing. That's how long he's been at the club. And I'm starting to think, is it time to maybe push him on?
That's mad to say. But Dara, we do need to head off to Old Trafford.
Do we?
Very, very quickly, because he's coming up. Penalties taken. He's... Holy shit.
Something's happened at Old Trafford, Nathan. What is it?
So, to bring it back, Adnan Januzaj put a good through ball. The winger, whose name I can't pronounce, Oyar Zabal, has just been clattered by Dan James. It's a stonewall penalty, as stonewall as they come. He's come up to take the penalty, hop and a skip Bruno style, and just skied it over the bar.
Like, oh, lovely.
He needs to do the David Beckham checking if there was sand under the penalty spot. Because that is one of the worst penalties to be seen. Other chances, Bruno had a good volley at one point, but he was offside. Other than that, not a lot's been happening at Old Trafford so far. There's been some neat play from both sides. It's United 0, Sociedad 0 on the night, United 4-0 up on aggregate.
Fair play. Well, we move on from the Liverpool chat, and I'll quickly move on to my trivia question from last week, just to get as far away from Liverpool as possible. So the question for last week was, Kylian Mbappe became the third player to score a hat-trick against Barcelona in the Champions League era. Can you name the other two players? Nathan, do you know them?
Oh, one of them I've forgotten the name of, but Shevchenko's one of them.
Andrei Shevchenko was the last one to do it at the new camp.
His name Arila or something like that? Ariala?
Sounds like some like spider out of Harry Potter or something. So Andrei Shevchenko, on the 5th of November in 1997, in a 4-0 win for Dynamo Kiev at the new camp, which I imagine was quite a shock back then, and Faustino Asprilla on the 17th of September, just 2 months before, in a 3-2 win at St. James's for Newcastle United in the Champions League.
Sorry, maybe I was thinking of Fulham goalkeeper Areola.
Areola, yeah. I don't know where that came
from. Yeah, I couldn't remember the guy's name, so I was just trying to remember. But an excellent trivia question.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you very much.
We'll do a bit. I know United are playing at the minute, so we don't know how good our week is actually going to turn out to be from the weekend. But... United comfortably kind of passed Newcastle, looked a little bit dodgy for the first half, really. And the goal, once again, was just a horrible defensive mishap. But Dan James, though, what a run of form he's putting in. He's scored more goals in 13 games that he's played this season, which is 5, than he did in the entirety of last season, where he scored 4 in 46. It's in the form of his life.
Very good, isn't he? For someone who's usually described as a pace merchant, he's getting those contributions, and that's all that matters, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's got a few assists going on as well. Like, he's been playing really well, and he's one of those players that United fans, we really like him. He seems like a lovely boy. But he's not had the end product that he had, because he started out like a house on fire for United. Maybe he scored in his first game against Chelsea in the 4-0 win opening day of the season last season. And then he quickly kind of went off the boil a little bit and didn't score for ages into a Europa League game.
But do you know my favourite Dan James moment?
Is it the goal for Leeds when he ran the entire length of the pitch?
Oh, you're so close. It's when Salah held him off to finish off the United game and win 2-0.
Oh, okay.
In January last year.
Weirdly, that's not a moment that came to mind for me.
I wonder why. I don't know where you were going with that Leeds moment.
when he played for Leeds in the Championship season before we signed him, he scored a goal where he picked up the ball, kind of like Song's goal that won him the award, picked up the ball in his own half, sprinted the entire length of the pitch, did about 3 defenders, and then just slotted it in the corner. I think that's why we signed him. I don't think anyone else has watched him play.
Sounds like a very Dan James goal. If you were to like ask me, what does a Dan James goal look like? I think that's what I'd imagine.
Either it's he ran as fast as humanly possible and then kicked the ball, or he didn't realise he scored because it hit him in the face and just went in.
He's a very small man, isn't he, Dan James? Isn't he very small?
Very small man. Yeah, he is quite... He's diminutive, I think, is the fancy word that journalists usually use for them. He's not the tallest person. Like, he's taller than Ryan Fraser, it turns out.
Well, that is some achievement.
But no, it was a good win from kind of we're level on points with Leicester because we just had too many draws lately. We've got Chelsea at the weekend, which I'm not massively looking forward to. If it was still Lampard in charge, I'd be like, oh, yeah, we'd love this. Yeah, we did beat Lampard's Chelsea 3 times last season, I think. I think we knocked them out of one of the cups and we beat them in the league home and away, but they beat us in the other cup.
FA Cup
semi-final.
Yeah.
We knocked them out of the league cup and beat them home and away in the league. So we lost the one that mattered, really.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because Olivier Giroud is still the best player in the world.
Apparently so. Everyone says it's Lewandowski, but they're just, as always, overlooking Giroud.
Incorrect. Yeah, no.
The bicycle kick, that was.
It was nice. Did well. I think they did well to win against Atleti, to win that game.
Did you watch any of the game?
I did not.
It was a horrendous watch, though. There's a reason Spanish Burnley was trending on Twitter. Atletico Madrid... In the entire build-up, of the game, it's about Simeone. He's changed up his style to suit João Felix and Luis Suarez. They're way more attacking now. They're dynamic. All this brilliant stuff about why they're top of the Liga.
Yeah, I did see this one picture that went sort of trending on social media where, no joke, there's 4 centre backs and there's 2 full backs. So they're playing a 6. Was it a 6-4? I think the formation was in the picture.
It was a really bad watch. And it's one of those things that Jurgen Klopp kind of said it last season after playing Atletico Madrid, where he was obviously a bit bitter after the way they lost. But I think they were more bloody attacking against you last season than they were this season. And they got better players this season.
Yeah.
They don't have Hector Herrera, who is... We don't generally speak down on people on this podcast because we're quite nice, but he is awful. But yeah, Atletico Madrid are an appalling watch. I'm sure in the second leg they're going to have to be more attacking because they're a goal down. But watching some world-class players have to play in like what ends up being a back 9 is just awful. But Chelsea did well to grind out the win because it had 0-0 written all over it from about the 20th minute onwards. And what a goal.
It was a great goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it still sounds like Timo Werner still doesn't really look alive. Yeah, he sucks.
Doesn't he look alive?
In a footballing sense, I mean, like physically, he is there. He is alive. He is breathing.
But allegedly.
Outside of that, I'm not sure if he's doing much else.
I doubt he could finish the dinner at this point, Nathan.
Yeah, he couldn't hit a barn door.
All those cliches.
All of them. But moving on to some more fun stuff. Dara, last week you brought in a lovely tier list for us. Ooh.
2 weeks ago, but go on.
2 weeks ago, sorry, Rian was here last week. 2 weeks ago. So I decided to take kind of the format of asking your opinion on some players, but kind of add to it by saying, would you invite this person for dinner?
Okay, well, not at the minute because COVID regulations. I would not invite anyone for dinner.
We need to make that clear. We are
I promise, two officer. Meters
apart. We're 2 meters apart, not because of COVID.
I think we're a few more, but
this
okay.
is how we like to sit. So, Fernando Torres, would you invite him for dinner?
Definitely.
What would you serve him?
Oh, God. Well, now you put me on the spot. I have to do the cooking as well. This is like a come dine with me situation. I thought this was like going out for food with them, trying to wine and dine them.
Okay, well, where, what sort of restaurant would you take Fernando Torres to? Like, is there a chain in mind of where you would take him?
Well, again, I don't want to test the limitations of this now, but is this where I live, or is this just anywhere?
Just anywhere. So you've gone to meet Fernando Torres. You're picking the restaurant. Where? What sort of? Like, it could be a chain or just a nice restaurant that you know.
Do you know what I do? Actually, I try and impress Torres because I'm a huge Torres fan, and I'd go, Nando, you'll never guess where we're going, and then he'd go, oh, are we going to dot dot dot? And I'd go, yeah. And then that's exactly where I'd go.
You know, that's a tried and true method.
And playing mind games at the mirror. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And then he takes me to some, I don't know what Nando's into for his food.
For a second, because you were calling him Nando, I just thought you were saying you're going to take him to Nando's.
Good choice.
He probably,
you know,
seen Fernando Torres lately?
He's shredded now, isn't he?
He's a beefy boy now. Like, he's big. He's got big into his bodybuilding, his gym stuff.
He's done a reverse Wesley Schneider. Whereas instead of just bloating up, which there's nothing wrong with if you're retired and you want to live that lifestyle, that's fair. But Torres has just become, I don't know, Vince McMahon all of a sudden. I don't know why I picked Vince McMahon out of all the people I could. Well, Nathan, I'm going to have to cut this little chat off because we are actually going to go back over live to Old Trafford with Nathan. Nathan, what's happening?
United have just hit the bar, Dara, and it's a great move. It was a through ball to Fred. Fred, one-on-one with the goalie, the on-rushing goalie. He's taking it round the goalie, but to a place where he can't get it shot away. Back heels it to who else but Bruno Fernandes, who just sweeps it from the edge of the area over the goalie, who is in no man's land. Two defenders on the line, but it ends up striking the crossbar as it was bending into the top corner. It's still 0-0 on the night. United well in this now. They're well on top, and it is 4-0 to them on aggregate.
Cheers, Jeff. sounds like a game of pinball, that game over there. But yes, you know what, Nathan, I like your idea of taking Nando to Nando's.
Do you think you'd find that joke funny?
Probably not.
Well, now he's shredded, maybe Nando should get on him, because if he is a meat eater, because he's shredded, he's probably going to be eating a lot of chicken.
Whatever. I like to imagine I'd say that as like a joke, and he'd just stare at me, confused, and then I'd just go, yeah, okay, we'll move on. So I imagine that'd go.
So, Dara, you are obviously an Irishman. So this next one is going to kind of be, I don't know if you're going to want to take this guy for dinner. It is Thierry Henry.
Ooh. See, I'm not... I don't hold a grudge against Henry for the handball. I mean, I did for a while, but I actually really liked Thierry Henry as a footballer, especially at Arsenal. But the way... When he went to the MLS, he started to come across a bit sort of arrogant. I remember he used to shout at the players a lot, which I never liked. Almost as if, why can't you be as good as me? And I think a similar thing happened when he's been manager as well. I'm not taking Henry for food. I'm sorry, T.
Oh. Wow. We'll move swiftly on then.
Respect.
So it's Liverpool cult hero Ryan Babel.
Okay. It's a very random one. Sure. Yeah.
You take him to dinner?
Why not? He's Dutch, isn't he? I don't know why that was a... I don't know. I don't think I'd put the same effort in for Ryan Babel as I was for Fernando Torres, even though I was taking Torres to a Nando's, now that I think about it. I'd probably just take Babel. I'd ask him, does he like Chinese food? And I'd just take him to the local Chinese.
Nice, nice. TV presenter, and I don't know if you would have seen this man... Maybe I don't know what feeds you get over there, but Dan Walker.
Dan, what? Not off the top of my head. Which one's he?
He's a BT Sports presenter usually, but never mind. We'll move swiftly on to Roy Keane.
Yes, I'd love to. Well, the food angle sounds a bit romantic, and I'm not sure if Roy Keane would be up for that. But I'd definitely go for a pint with Roy Keane.
You wouldn't be able to address it as food. You'd have to go to a pub. that also serves food, so that he is the option, and then only get food if he's like, I wonder what they've got.
he's definitely like steak or beef. He's not having like chicken wings. Do you know what I mean? Roy Keane is getting some proper like red meat, isn't he? But I'd love to just chat to him. I feel he has a load of stories that I'd love to just sit and listen to. And even though he's like, you know, United captain, won all those trophies with United or whatever, and he wasn't really, sort of fell out of favour a bit with the Irish because of the 2002 World Cup, the way he left. But I find Roy Keane very interesting. I'd love to chat to him.
Did you see the photos he put up on his Instagram? The last ones he put up?
Yes. Yeah.
On some like trip from 1992, just like to karaoke in a pub.
I love that.
So let's get back onto some Liverpool people and see what you think of them. It's Mario Balotelli.
Yes, again, I'm a bit of a fan of Balotelli, even though his time at Liverpool wasn't great. I liked him when he was at City. I liked how outrageous he was. And I like proper celebrated when he scored. The few times he scored for Liverpool, I definitely celebrated them.
The two times he scored.
He scored. I think it's four. One in the league, one in the League Cup, and I think one in the Champions League, one in Europa League. I think that's how it went. But no, I do like Mario Balotelli. Again,
I'd take him.
What would Mario Balotelli like? He'd like somewhere a bit out there.
Like somewhere a bit lively. I feel like he would want to go, like, to some kind of fancy bar, pissed up, and then get food after that.
Yeah, it'd be like a proper like nightclub, like a proper flashy nightclub, not the ones that I'm used to.
Like a vodka bar.
I don't know what they are, but sure, I'll take your word for it.
Bars that serve loads of different types of vodka.
I should have guessed that, yeah. I'd be up for that. No, I'm used to just the same nightclub. There's no nightclubs around where there's the one. But yeah, and then we could get, you know, a kebab afterwards, something like that.
Okay. What about Mario Balotelli's strike partner, Ricky Lambert?
I do like Ricky Lambert again. Didn't do much at Liverpool, but at the time when we signed him, I was happy because I don't think we'd sold Suarez at that point. I was like, brilliant, Lambert, proven goal scorer to back off Suarez. Then Suarez leaves, and then suddenly this guy's our number nine, and I'm like, oh no. But
it did seem like he was going to be the plan B. Like, yeah. Oh, we're bringing in Lambert. He's had a good season at Southampton, cracking player. He's a bit on his, like, a bit like a Giroud. It seems to be to people. Like, when people think of Giroud, they look at him, he's like, oh, he's 33, 34, he's a plan B, but he's actually Chelsea's best striker.
Yeah.
But it felt like that was the sort of signing it was.
And what was so special about him joining Liverpool was he was released by the academy at a young age, and then he had to work his way back up through the ranks. And then he went on to play for England, scored for England on his debut against Scotland. I like Ricky Lambert, yeah.
Where are you going to take Ricky Lambert?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a little known fact, but he worked in the beetroot factory, so I'd stay as far away from beetroot as possible.
He'd be ringing up places and asking what they've got. Does anything you serve of beetroot?
Does he have any allergies? Well, he's got a phobia. Is that the same thing?
Well, we've done Balotelli, we've done Ricky Lambert, so can you guess who's next?
It's going to be big boy Fab, isn't it?
It's Fabio Barini. Where are you taking Fabio Barini?
You know what? I don't think I'd take him anywhere. I think I'd let the agent take us. I'd let the agent take us somewhere because that agent...
He's obviously got a bloody good agent.
He's worked miracles.
He'd probably get you a table at the Ritz on like 5 minutes notice. Like somehow.
Yeah. No, again, I like Fabio Barini. A lot of Liverpool fans very much dislike these players in this time, but I kind of have good memories at that time because we were kind of bad, but I sort of enjoyed it. I don't know. I'm a weird guy.
Where are you going to take Kabak? And are you going to take Kabak out?
I don't know. I don't think I've got to know Kabak too much. But then again, maybe the dinner would help us get to know each other a bit more. I could ask him what he's about because he speaks English.
What are you
about? I do know.
Just say, like, what's going on, Kabak?
What you all about? Oz.
Yeah, we're all a bit confused by you so far. Are you any good or not?
Sure.
What about Tim Cahill?
Yeah, I'd have to take out Tim Cahill. I'm running out of places. Australian places? I don't know. Is there any Australian?
Do you have a, what's that chain of bars called? Oh, God, there's like an Australian themed chain of bars.
I don't think so. I don't think we've had any.
Oh, someone's going to be shouting it at me now, like into it. If they shouted a little louder, I'd be able to hear them. No, it's gone.
Those Australians, they love a pint, don't they? I'm sure, again, it'd be another pint job. I'd ask him why he was so good against Liverpool.
I'm going to call going to the pub now.
A pint job.
Yeah, so I'm off out tonight. There's a pint job on.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be invoicing you with the... I've trademarked that already.
Oh, okay.
Very strange tier list, this. Not really a tier list.
It ended up just being like, would you want to hang out with this player and where would you take them? So it's more like getting to know you and the footballers you like. People.
And I said no to Ozan Kabak and Thierry Henry.
Well, what about Mick McCarthy?
I feel Mick McCarthy was a bit before my time. I know he was the last Irish manager to get to the World Cup, but I only ever really remember him at Wolves. That's the earliest memory I have of Mick McCarthy. So I think I might pass on Mick.
He's at Cardiff now, which is weird because went to like a Cypriot club or something. Oh, he went to Cyprus, didn't he?
Yeah, that sounds right. And then he was the Ireland manager again.
And now he's at Cardiff, and Cardiff are apparently just playing really great football under him. So he's obviously doing well for himself. But seem like he's up for a laugh, though. Like he's a proper Irishman. Be a bit of fun.
Yeah, one of my favourite Premier League moments in the history of the Premier League is a Mick McCarthy moment. It's the camera. Eyebrows. Yeah, the camera zooms in on him. He's just, I don't know, he's overseeing the game, whatever, and the eyebrows just raise as he eyes up the camera. Very seductive, Mick McCarthy.
Oh, well, last two, Demba Ba.
I don't think I'd want to talk to Demba Ba. I think too many bad memories spring to mind straight away. Although he loves, what is it? Is it syrup? It's something like that. Let me look this up quickly.
Is he like Jamie Vardy with his port and Red Bull?
20 Red Bulls before a game. Yeah, Demba Ba syrup. What's this? Strawberry syrup, that's it. He loves strawberry syrup, Demba Ba. Oh. Well, and he loves embarrassing English clubs with one-on-ones.
Yeah, he does. He really does. And last one is, let's end on a high, because we know you're going to take this guy out. But let's say you have a whole night planned, you and Jurgen Klopp.
Oh.
Where are you taking Kloppy? What does that night look like? Because we know Jurgen Klopp, he's a bit of a party animal.
Yeah, well, the first thing that came to mind was in Liverpool, there's a German bar in Concert Square called Einstein's. It's like a German sports bar where there's like a million and one TVs and they have a lot of pool tables. It's really nice, actually. Nathan, if you ever, you know, cross the divide and go there, I definitely recommend it. This isn't a brand deal for Einstein's, I must stress.
You can get 10% off your order with code plus added. You can't. But if you do go, say that to your waiter or waitress and let us know what they say.
Get out, we're closed. Get away. You know, bounces on the door. It's a proper good place. It's a good night. And then, I don't know, again, I think I'd let Klopp choose. I'm not saying Klopp, we're going here or there. Although, again, when I go to Liverpool, there's this like Chinese buffet, which I never knew was a thing. None of them in Ireland. Well, not where I'm from, especially. And it's amazing. Just all you can eat Chinese food for like 10 quid. Yes, please.
Oh my God, that sounds incredible.
Amazing. And it's right beside that Einstein's as well.
What would you do with James Milner? This wasn't on the list, but he's just occurred. He's a bit of a different character.
I think I'd take him to more... I don't think it'd be food. I think it'd be more of a pub. It'd be one of those pubs where, you know, no TV, traditional Irish music. I think he'd really enjoy that.
An open fire?
Yeah, sure. The one I'm thinking of has an open fire. Has a sitting room. It used to be an old house that they converted into a pub.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, very nice.
Oh, well,
I'm not going to plug it. They're not sponsoring us.
You don't want everyone else to go there. All our legions of listeners turning up looking for you.
Oh, not again.
Well, yeah, that was my little list I had for you. That's some interesting answers. I didn't expect you to be so hard on Kabak. I thought you would take Kabak out and just kind of like show him a good time so that he feels more settled.
Yeah, I thought that, but
instead you're going to chastise him.
Instead, I'm going to take out Tim Cahill. I don't know. I don't know what I'd chat to about Kabak, because I don't know. Maybe if someone wants to let me know what we could chat about, maybe we can make this happen.
I feel like Kabak would need more cheering up, like, because he's had a bit of a rough season. Like, although he's at Liverpool now, great step up for his career. It's not been a good start, and then he came from Schalke, who are an absolute state. So I feel like he might just need to have a laugh.
Just need an arm around the shoulder, probably literally. I think that phrase does mean literally, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, I'd probably just ask him, did Alisson give you the shout or or not? Because that's the new who shot JR. You know, it's a proper cliffhanger that I need sorting out.
Well, now we know that Fabregas threw the pizza. We don't really have any football mysteries left. I know Peter Crouch. If you've listened to the latest episode of the Peter Crouch podcast, there's a mystery in there.
Ooh, which one's that?
It was the one where when Peter Crouch used to clean boots for David Ginola and another player whose name escapes me now. At one point, someone stole this player's boots and he thought it was Crouch who had lost them. Like when he was meant to be cleaning them, but it turned, he was like, he would say he didn't, and he still to this day doesn't know what happened to those boots.
I thought you were going to go into Charlie Adam being parched, which was, I think, that the definition incredible. Of a cliffhanger. I like how now we're just alluding to other podcasts.
Yeah, to a better podcast. well, that was my list. I'm going to throw it over to you, Daryl. What have you got for us this week?
Yeah, well, one thing that came to mind, I've been thinking, you know, football, it hasn't really been the same in the last year, has it? And I thought, what's the one thing I miss the most? And one thing I definitely miss, Nathan, is football chants.
Absolutely.
Football chants are what, when you go to the game especially and you join in, I think there's no better time. I mean, is it really a chant? You'll never walk alone before a game. Probably the best moment of being at a Liverpool game, full stop. And even Forever Blowing Bubbles, it's another one I just love, and I know every word to, because I love Green Street Hooligans. It's a great movie with Elijah Wood as being an American journalist who suddenly joins a hooligan gang, the Green Street Elite. Great movie. But I was thinking, Nathan, some of my favourite football chants. I'll give you mine first, and then, you know, maybe I'll ask for a few of yours. Well, I will ask for a few of yours.
Yeah, I'll just let's go for it.
Rattle my ones off just to give you a bit of time to think. They're very Liverpool centred. I've tried to add a couple, but none really sprang to mind. So I've got "Si Senor," the Bobby Firmino chant, which I think sometimes when a player isn't playing their best, I think a good chant in a very strange way, it makes the player a bit better. Liverpool definitely had some examples of that over the years. And other ones, Virgil van Dijk chant to the tune of, "Dirty Old Town" by the Pogues. That's it. Great song. Luis Suarez and Fernando Torres, two great chants. But the few that came to mind when I was talking about other clubs, Nathan, one you'll definitely be familiar with is the "Gigs Will Tear You Apart."
Yeah.
It's a good song. And, well, it's a song that I like. And then it's just got a nice flow to it. It's a good song to chant along to, isn't it? I imagine you've sang that many times.
Yeah, I have. I can't confess to knowing the words much. I'm not great on music and words, but
Gigs Will Tear You Apart.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, it's a tough one to remember. I had that one. I had the Willian chant when he was at Chelsea. The Willian hates Tottenham. Remember that one?
I know the story, but I don't know the chant.
Yeah, I won't sing it for you now. But basically, Willian was on the verge of moving to... Well, it was originally Liverpool. I don't know if anyone even remembers that. But Tottenham hijacked the move. And Willian was set to sign for Tottenham before Chelsea hijacked the move. And then Willian signed for Chelsea. And Tottenham had bought a flight for Willian to fly to London, only for him to go to Chelsea. It was brilliant. It was like when Berbatov was it was between City and United at the time, wasn't it? And
yeah,
he signed for United like the last hours of deadline day, which is a classic deadline day moment. And then I'm a sucker for Robin Van Persie, one of them.
Those are a nice simple chant.
They flow and, nice.
One that I always remember that's really funny is the Emil Heskey chant.
Do it from there quickly.
There's only one Emil Heskey, one Emil Heskey. He used to be shite, but now he's all right, walking in a Heskey wonderland. It's really funny.
That's good.
Or another one of my favourites is Dimitar Berbatov had a chant, because Dimitar Berbatov always looked a little bit like, he probably still does, looks a little bit like Snape at times. So people used to chant, there's only one Alan Rickman at him. It's just always really funny.
I don't remember that at all. That's a brilliant one, yeah.
And then the Peter Crouch one's always great. And that's twice he's got a mention on here, so he owes us some money. But the his feet stick out of the bed.
Yeah.
Small bit
before my time. But
some of the best ones like aren't there for very long, but it's when they just like fit someone's name into a song. So there was the one where Jose Fonte was in the Premier League. It was like, Jose Fonte, baby. Jose Fonte. Why Jose Fonte is getting a chant? He's a great player. I think he's still playing in France. But,
yeah, and it's a weird one. Only certain players seem to get chants. But when they do, they're usually good ones. I guess that's how it's meant to work. But I think of like Daniel Sturridge was pretty good for Liverpool. He was there for a good few years. Never had a chant.
That's true, actually. Like, I don't know if a lot of the... Like, Odion Ighalo had a great chant for the limited time he was at United. Like, it was quite like...
R.I.P.
Yeah, for the limited time that he was there. And which had a really funny lyric of when it was like, he came from Shanghai, we're all gonna die. Odion Ighalo.
Topical, if nothing else.
Yeah, if nothing else. Thanks for the goals against Lask. I should say.
Do you have any chance that you just hate with a passion? There's two that came to mind.
I don't like the you're getting sacked in the morning chant.
Okay. Because I thought you were going to say my one there, but go on.
Because I don't like that's just proper singling someone out. Like, and not for a good reason. Like, it's kind of like, it's sort of just, when it's like done cheekily, so when it's like, oh, Pep has won 19 games in a row now. When he's lost, I wouldn't mind if the fans were back in the arena and they were chanting, you'll get sacked in the morning at him for losing one game.
Love that.
But when it's like kicking someone when they're down, when like, who comes to mind? If you were to sing it at Chris Wilder now, like, that's just a bit much for me. Like, that's just a bit bullying.
But... Yeah. For me, the one that I always think of, and I think it's the most cringy chant ever, is Hull City, you're getting mauled by the Tigers.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It is horrible. And they do the clawing motion. Ugh.
Oh, who was the striker that Swansea had for a little bit, whose celebration was crawling on the floor and looking like a tiger?
Bafetimbi Gomi, the Panther. I remember, yeah. Him and Andre Ayew up top. He scored 3 goals. It was in FIFA. So, I mean, who's the real winner at the end of the day?
One I do like that I've just now thought about it is the Can We Play You Every Week? When it's the side that haven't won for like 10 games and then they're beating, usually like it's an upper table side. And then it's Can We Play You Every Week?
The worst one, Nathan, I'm not sure if, well, you might be aware of it, but if you haven't, you definitely have to look it up. It's the Seattle Sounders in the MLS and they have their own ultra section.
Oh, God.
And it's this guy wearing a scarf. Just the thought of this ever happening in European football. It's this guy in a scarf with a megaphone, is that what you call them, yeah. And he just kind of like looks around, just smiling and nodding to the fans. And he just shouts, come on, Seattle. And then the fans sing along to it. And then fight and win. And he just does that for like a minute. And it's just, it's horrible. You have to look at it to believe it. It's one of the worst things you will ever see. And it's everything wrong with the modern game.
It is weird when like smaller sides like, but the ultra section is a really weird is a really weird world to be in. And when, I was about to just point that towards like smaller sides, but I'm going to put it to all sides. The ultra section is weird. Like I would never be in an ultra section.
No, if there was a singing section, I'd happily be. I'd happily go there. But when it comes to an ultras,
because I went on holiday with some friends to Malaga, and a few years ago, and we were across. But the way we were staying was like you'd go across like a main road and then another smaller road, and there was the stadium. Like we could see it from our window. So we're like, "There's a game this weekend. We'll go." And they had an ultra section.
Oh god!
And it was just like face paint, big, huge signs, smoke going up the entire ground. And this isn't a big stadium, but then
I've been to it. I've actually been to it.
You've been to the stadium as well.
Yeah, I've been
it's
to
a
it,
nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice little stadium.
The Rosaleda, I think it's called.
Yeah, and that's and we saw them play. This is when they had Martin Demichelis in the defence when I went to see them.
Oh wow! So this is proper peak oil money time for Malaga. They were the
big
original.
Expense of Martin Demichelis. This is Martin Demichelis post City, so he was like 48.
Never mind. Okay, no, he was there before he went to City as well.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking he didn't cost a lot. Yeah, and they were playing whichever Spanish side Kiki Sanchez Flores is always in charge of.
I can't tell you. Were they in the second division at the time, or was this?
No, this is La Liga. Like it was a really rubbish game. Like whoever they were playing won 1-0. They scored in like the 20th minute with a decent strike, and then the rest of the game was just like a blowout.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, that ultra section, you would have seen it as well. It's a bit mad for the environment that you're in because there's no booze allowed in the stadium either.
I didn't even know that. I got the stadium tour. I was on a family holiday. They went to Torremolinos and we didn't go to, why did I say that? No, we didn't. We went to a place called Benalmádena, which is about an hour from, I don't know why I said Torremolinos, which is about an hour away from Malaga. I went for a day trip.
Spanish fans are furious right now.
Those ultras, please don't find out where I live.
But if anyone out there considers himself a plus at a time ultra, tweet at Project.
Please get in touch.
Yeah. we want you to make us a chant.
And I would love that. Yeah, I want that to happen. Please, someone make that happen.
Yeah, someone out there listening right now, if you're into that sort of thing, make us a chant, record it and send it in, and it'll be our new theme.
We could do it a theme. That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, yeah, that's my
How
my
did
chat.
We get here? Oh, the chants.
My chat about chants. Chatty chant.
Would you like me to talk about halftime?
Go ahead. I've completely forgotten what we're doing. Yep.
All right. So half time at Old Trafford, 0-0. United had a couple of cracking chances towards the end. There was one with a Bruno Fernandes flick over the defence to an on running Dan James. Header, though, was sadly straight at the goalkeeper. And there's a goal mouth scramble at one point. Bruno Fernandes hit the bar. It's weird that Sociedad did have that penalty. But it was he missed it by so much. I'm not even sure I'm going to count it as a chance. Like it was an awful penalty. Absolutely tragic. But yeah, 0-0 United 4-0 up on aggregate, kind of just cruising at the minute. There was one point where Sociedad did a big cross-field ball over to Adnan Januzaj, and he just missed it completely, and then crouched down and put his head in his hands. It was kind of sad to watch.
Oh, poor Adnan, yeah. And also, for anyone who cares, anyone who's keeping up to date, even though this is about 3 days after the match has taken place, Leicester currently nil all with Slavia Prague, and that's 0-0 on aggregate. So that could still go to extra time. Could be plus added time, some might say. Plugging it.
That's why Dara gets paid more than me.
You get paid, do you? Tell me more.
Oh, so looking to the weekend, I think it's time to do that. You've already said you're playing Sheffield United. You sound happy about it?
Yep. Oh, delighted. No, I mean if we don't win, it's away. We've been better away lately than we have been at home, but that doesn't say much, I guess. But surely surely they have to, they can't lose to Sheffield United. Nathan, please tell me.
I tell you that you can't lose to Sheffield. You can.
I mean,
we've done it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It can happen to you, Darren.
That's kind of how football works, I guess, yeah. You can, there's winners and there's losers.
Paul Scholes looks so unbelievably bored.
That poor man.
He's there wearing two coats, just looking so done.
Two like, coats?
Why am I here? But,
is he in a studio or is he out on a balcony? What's he?
They're out on a balcony.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
2 metres apart, but he just looks so done. United, we play Chelsea. I'm not looking forward to this game. It's at Stamford Bridge, and as I say, if Lampard was in charge, I'd be all right with it. But under Tuchel, they've looked almost good. And we always look just less than good.
Yeah, they've looked a lot more solid, haven't they? I think the defence has come on a long way since Frankie got the sacking.
And given that Bailly is playing tonight, he's made it through the half, touch wood. So next to Lindelof, which means that we're probably going to get Lindelof and Maguire back, which I'm not a big fan of, and David De Gea will be back in goal, which I'm not a huge fan of lately. So
do you reckon there's any chance Dino starts ahead of De Gea in the league?
I think there is a chance of that. At some point, you've got to make the call. And one thing that Solskjaer, he does trust the players. Like, and David De Gea, he's had a couple of cock-ups, but much the same way as Alisson. He's also made some great saves this season.
He's also doesn't get spoken a good about goalkeeper. Yeah.
Goalkeepers making saves doesn't ever get spoken about, unless it's like a miraculous save. It's only the cock-ups that we talk about. This has been the same with Alisson this season. No one mentions the fact he saved your ass quite a few times. It's the fact he miskicked the ball once.
And everyone has a massive uproar. How dare he make a mistake, even though he hasn't made one in about a year.
Yeah.
The amount of points he saved in that time. It's what always happens.
David De Gea, he's not been on the level that Alisson's been on in the last year, year and a half. Probably going on 2 years now. But he's still making good saves. But Dean Henderson does look like a solid goalie. He does look like next season he should probably be number one. And David De Gea should probably leave this summer.
Yeah,
I would say we said that last summer.
That's a good point. Speaking of Dean Henderson, you know, today is 5 years Marcus Rashford scored that goal against, check the bingo cards again, Mitchell. I don't know why they always come up. And he runs into the crowd and he's there to celebrate with none other than Dean Henderson.
Dean Henderson was in the crowd. Yeah, 5 years Rashford's been playing. 256 games, 136 goals plus assists. He's still only 23.
Is he?
23, 24, I think. He's one of them. He's younger than Martial, and Martial's 25.
Yeah,
but I think Rashford's only 23, because I think he was 18 when he played those games for us.
Yeah, that does sound right, actually, yeah.
And 18 plus 5 is 23.
Plus added math.
Plus added age, he's 26. That is wild, and the fortunate thing for us is that Marcus Rashford, he's not had a lot of injuries, so I worry less about him heading in the direction of our favourite human being, someone I didn't even bother asking if he would take out for dinner, which is Michael Owen, who played a boatload of games when he was super young and then kind of broke down later in his career. Physically and personality-wise.
Do you know, one of my favourite Michael Owen moments was, he was on the Jamie Carragher podcast, and they were talking about how he is, you know, the whiter-than-white personality from the media, that's what he's portrayed as, and he was talking to Carragher, like, oh, you know, we used to go out a lot, and, you know, we did some things, and it was the most, like, David Brent sort of... Yeah, you know, I had a few drinks. It was horrible.
That is not an episode I would want to listen to. Like,
I drank that night.
He just seems so beige.
I don't know. At one point, I remember thinking, I'd love to I'd love to have Michael on this podcast, but the more I think about it, the more I just don't really care.
You feel like he would have some stories.
He'd be a bit interesting, but
after a while, it just seems like it always comes back to bitterness.
Yeah.
But he's bitter about the fact that he had an incredible career.
And he didn't help himself at Newcastle, refusing to play.
Refusing to
when
play.
When they were up against relegation.
Yeah, whilst on $100,000 a week.
And the only reason, he went to Real Madrid, basically, was that Jamie Carragher, when he found out, kind of laughed and said, you're not going to go, are you? You're not going to start if they've got Ronaldo and Raul. And he apparently went to prove a point, which is lovely. Yeah.
And then he didn't start.
Yeah.
there's one, I can't think, it might be a Clasico, or it's one match, and Michael Owen did have to start. Because they had injuries.
Just the one.
And it was Beckham pinged a ball over the top to an on-running Owen. Owen scored. It was a great goal. And the commentators just go, and when Owen scores, Madrid always win. And I was like, that's because he's only played like 5 fucking games.
This is his debut, isn't it? And then he went on to... then he went back to Newcastle, and then he went into the 2006 World Cup, and he got that knee injury, didn't he? And then he got another injury when he returned again, something like that. And then he kind of just sat out his time in Newcastle. And he was their record transfer until Miguel Almiron, which astonishing.
It is astonishing, and it's kind of speaks a lot about Newcastle. In their entirety, but he did play 45 games for Real Madrid. I would imagine most of them were off the bench. He only scored 16 goals in his one season there before moving to Newcastle, where he scored 30 goals in 79 games across 4 seasons. And then Manchester United, 17 in 52 across 3 seasons.
Not bad.
Then 1 in 9 for Stoke.
Yeah, I don't know why he went to Stoke. There was no point.
Money.
Nope, there was no point. Why would he just retire at United? I mean, I know it'd look even worse. Especially, he's like a Liverpool ambassador, which is just a bit... like, really?
Who asks to see Michael Owen? If you're like a kid.
Not many people. One of my favourite Michael Owen clips is... in one of those Michael Owen soccer schools. I'm sure you've seen it a million times. And it's Neville Southall is like training this like young kid as a goalkeeper or whatever. And Michael Owen is scoring past this, I think he's 12. He's scoring past this poor lad. And he's just celebrating every goal as if it's like, you know, El Clasico. And then Southall just hits him with the, well done, he's only 12.
If I say to you, so Michael Owen, he's known as he's a Ballon d'Or winner, phenomenal player for Liverpool and everything like that. But if you don't know this off the top of your head, I'm going to ask you to take an educated guess. What's the most amount of goals in a season you think Michael Owen scored?
Well, straight away, I'm going to say it's 2000-2001, and it's going to be about 25.
You'd be wrong on the year. It's 01-02 and 02-03.
Never mind.
Both the exact same. And it's 28.
28. Like, yeah. He was good. He was clinical. He sort of worked. He fitted Liverpool at the time, him and Heskey up top. And, yeah. You know?
I mean, it just seems weird when you talk about this legendary striker. And, like, the next season he would score 19 for Liverpool. And then that would be the most for the rest of his career. He wouldn't get past 16, which was his Real Madrid total.
Wow.
And after that, you're looking at 13 one season for Newcastle. It just seems like I'm not like dissing the guy, he was incredible. But it just feels like that's not as many goals as you would have guessed.
No, when you say Michael Owen, everyone immediately thinks, yeah, he was a proper, brilliant, well, not that he wasn't a brilliant striker, but he's not in like the top, I don't know. Top 10. Definitely
not.
It's not
Shearer.
No, him and Shearer didn't get on, so he definitely isn't an Alan Shearer. And I think the goal for England at that World Cup against Argentina, I think that's part of sort of the story of Michael Owen, isn't it? That he was so young. He was so good from such a young age. I think if you look at the stats, he was ridiculous. And he won the Golden Boot in like his second full season, which is pretty good. And if someone was to do that nowadays, you know, you'd be going mental about them. But he picks up a hamstring injury at Elland Road in, I think, 99. And that was sort of the beginning of him losing his pace. And he'd still have a few more good seasons at Liverpool, but then it just sort of went wrong. And then that knee injury for England was sort of the beginning of the end.
Oh, well, welcome to the only Michael Owen podcast.
The only Michael Owen fan, Derek Gibbons.
Yeah. Oh, Derek, before we ride off into the sunset, as the second half kicks off, where Marcus Rashford, Brandon Williams and Axel Tansebe have come on for United at halftime. Have you got the trivia question for the week?
Yeah, I'll give you the of course, Nathan. Why wouldn't I? Well, where else are you, Dad? You're playing at the minute, Nathan, aren't you?
Yeah, we are playing them at the minute.
Unless I'm completely wrong. So until 1989, Real Sociedad only signed players born in or developed in the Basque region of Spain. The signing of which player broke this unwritten rule?
What a fantastic question for everyone as he's gone down injured. Oh, no, I think he's okay. I know, it looks like... What happened?
Oh, no.
Oh no. Oh, it's his shoulder. He looks in pain. I think he's actually just thinking about the question and it's hurting him.
There you go, it's a tough.
Oh, Harry Maguire straight up. He's up, he's offering to take off his coat.
Oh. Take off his coat? Is he taking him out for food?
No, he's Harry Maguire's on the bench. So no, he got straight up off the bench. They zoomed in on him and he was like asking, am I gonna go on? He's probably frothing at the mouth to get in here and play this big Europa League tie. But a great question. Just repeat it for everyone.
Of course. Until 1989, Real Sociedad only signed players born in or developed in the Basque region of Spain. The signing of which player broke this unwritten rule? So obviously, Athletic Bilbao still abide by this unwritten rule, which is very interesting that every player to ever play for Athletic Bilbao has been born in or developed in the Basque region, and they've never been relegated from La Liga.
It is crazy. They're kind of like Everton as well, who've never spent a season out of the Premier League or people like that. It's some crazy records.
I think Everton have the most seasons in the top flight.
And Arsenal outside of the Premier League, yeah.
Yeah, and Arsenal have the longest consecutive in the top flight.
It's crazy. Villa were right up there as well until they got relegated 5 or 6 years ago now.
That was poor guys.
It's crazy. But yeah, that'll be us done here on Plus Added Time as Marcus Rashford lines up a free kick. And Sociedad have taken off Isaac, which tells me they've given up. But thank you very much for listening. You can find Project Dits and the other affiliated podcasts at Project Dits, at Project D-I-T-S. Dara, what have you got going on?
Not much, Nathan. Again, still stuck inside until at least May, I believe. But you can, again, always find me on Twitter at Gibbons_Dara. That's at Gibbons_DARRAGH.
And you can find me at Nathan Greenaway. I'm currently counting down the greatest songs of all time on my Twitter account. So if you want to come and join me on the list over that, you can also find me on Rogue Opinions at Rogue_Opinion. You can find my other comedy scripted podcast, That Ain't Sport, at That Ain't Sport or That Ain't Sport, wherever you listen to podcasts. But Dara, good luck at the weekend. I hope things get better for you.
Thank you. So and do I.
Sincerely.
Are your fingers crossed there, Nathan?
They are very crossed for Sheffield United. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Bye now.
Good luck.